Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. My dear devotees, when you hear the word test, what is it that you think about? Munindra Ganaha. Test, yes. Examination, you are examined, yes. Is it something you are looking forward to, or is it something that is a little heavy, no? You like excitement. Bhakti Shastri test. You are tested of what you know and all the things you didn't learn. Yeah, when I think of a test in Krishna consciousness, I immediately think of, I will be examined closely by Krishna. What I have learned so far in my spiritual life, and what I have not learned. When I was in tests in the school, I usually was not well prepared, but I knew how to cheat. So I had, I won't tell you, otherwise you tell your children. But I also know when I'm tested by Krishna, I won't be able to cheat. That is also. Anything else you think of when you think of a test? I'm asking you. Yes, Eka Changa.
For ourselves, you can see how you react in the situation.
You can see how do you react in a situation of a test. No? It becomes very clear by your reaction. Yes, Prabhu?
Learning,
yes, learning.
There is fear involved, whether we will pass it or not.
There's a fear. Do I pass it or don't I pass it? Mm-hmm.
But if you're well prepared, then it's easy, no?
Yeah. Here's a very nice point our Advaita Singha Prabhu makes. Tests has also something to do with preparation. No? When you are not prepared, it is one thing, but if you're well prepared, then no problem. No?
Relief.
A relief. Finally, the moment of truth has arrived. Yes, I have. You can see We all have a response to tests. So let us see what we can learn in this lecture, no? I will highlight a few things. So let us chant the verse now. Tabhyante loka tapena. Sadava praya shojana. Aramaradanam taddi. Purushasya kilatmana. Tabhyante loka tapena. Sadava praya shojana. Paramaradanam taddi. Purushasya kilatmana. Yes, please, someone else. Kante lokatapena. Yes, can we also hear a Vaishnavi, please? Tapiante voluntarily suffer. Lokatapena, because of the suffering of people in general. Yes. Sadavaha, saintly persons. Prayashaha, almost always. Janaha, such persons. Paramaradanam, the topmost method of worshipping. That activity. He indeed, Purushasya, of the Supreme Person, Akilatmanaha, who is the super soul of everyone. Good. So, translation. By the way, this text comes in the context of Lord Shiva, who saved the universe at the time when there was a terrible poison spreading everywhere. So he just drank it, finished. That's why, and his throat became blue. That's why it is called Nilakanta, no? The blue-throated one. So it is said, this is what is said, that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart. So let us pause for a moment and just go through the text again. So great personalities take something upon themselves, suffering, in order to help people in general. No? Who do you know some examples of people who accepted suffering for their own part in order to help others? Srila Prabhupada, yes, he left India at a high age, and went into very, very poor circumstances in London. Who else is an example for you? Nityananda? Yes, he went for preaching and he was hurt. I think of the Sankirtan devotees, especially in the winter when they go out, it's cold. But in order to help people by and distributing with literature that awakens them from their dream, no, they take on the suffering of cold hands and cold feet. So yes, Purport. Here is an explanation of how those engaged in activities for the welfare of others are very quickly recognized by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Yaidam paramam guyam mat bhaktesh vabidas yatsi na chatas mang manushyeshu kashchin me priyakritama. One who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me by worship. So here's someone who preaches and takes voluntary some inconvenience into his life, and he becomes quickly recognized and is most dear to Krishna. There are different kinds of welfare activities in this material world, but the supreme welfare activity is the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the laws of nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. It is by destiny or the laws of karma that one must suffer or enjoy. No, Prabhupada speaks about, you know, you may give a person who has a troublesome karma the best medicine, but he will not become healthy because it is his karma at the moment to undergo these sufferings, the disease. So, here's another example he gives. For instance, if one is given a court order, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering or profit. Similarly, everyone is under the obligations of karma and its reactions. No one can change this. Therefore, the Shastras say, Tasya eva heto prayate tako vido na labhyate yat brahmatam upayada. One should endeavor for that which is never obtained by wandering up and down the universe as a result of the reactions of karma. What is that? One should endeavor to become Krishna conscious. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activities. Wow! The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? Okay, then finished. Lord is satisfied. All good achievements are already achieved. If one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord who is within everyone supplies him whatever he wants. My dear devotees, all those who spread Krishna consciousness have seen in their lives. When you are just dedicated somehow or other to do good for others, it seems that Krishna is satisfied and does good for you. That is the only conclusion. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham nityabhi yoktanam yoga kshemam vaham yaham. Again, as stated here, tabhyantalokatapena sadava praya sojana. The best welfare activities is, any one of you was attentive? What did Prabhupada say in the beginning of the purport? Yes, the best welfare activity is raising people to the platform of Krishna consciousness, since the conditioned souls are suffering only for because of one thing, it's for want of Krishna consciousness. The Lord himself also comes to mitigate the suffering of humanity. Yada yada hi dharmasya. Join me, please. Glani bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam shijamyam. And continue. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to establish the principles of religion, to re-establish them. I advent myself millennium after millennium. All the shastras conclude, therefore, that spreading the Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world, because of the ultimate benefit this bestows upon people in general. The Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. Hare Krishna. Have you ever wondered about these verses, what they could mean today, that the Lord says whenever there is a decline in religious practice and irreligion arises, then he appears himself? Have you ever asked yourself, is this true today also? Yes? No? We are at the moment not awake, Maharaj. Please have mercy on us and don't ask us any questions. Muninda Kanaha.
Mr. Mahamantra is here.
Krishna has appeared at the Mahamantra. You are very, very, very right on. Prabhupada in one purport says, today we are also experiencing the rise of irreligion, and Krishna has appeared as the Krishna conscious movement. What this means is, with the movement, for instance, Lord Nrisimhadev appeared. He's here. He's very much there. You can see him. No? Advaita Singha. Every morning you can see him. Or as Munindra Ganaha has alerted us. He has appeared in the Krishna has appeared in the form of his holy name, and there is a widespread chanting of the holy name. I don't know if you know that, but we have some kirtaniyas like Achyuta Gopi and had her family. They have now 8 concerts. You know, the last concert they made was 46,000 people came and chanted at the end for one program alone. Or there are other devotees who, when they, we met a little Mataji in Switzerland, little, needs to eat a little bit more, you know. And her kirtans, 20 million clicks, let us hear this little Mataji's kirtan. People feel like this. So Krishna does appear also today in the form of his holy name, deities, which are all coming because of the devotees of Krishna, the movement for Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada concludes, there is no better welfare activity than spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. That's the best thing in the world. So, but to do that, we hear here some tapasya, some voluntary, you know, taking up voluntary inconvenience is there. So we will now look a little into this verse. We will see what could it mean for us. But please first be so kind to chant with me the pranam mantras. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nivesesa Dunyavari Paskajare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Hare Krishna. My dear devotees, let us start here. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives various promises that he will come to protect his devotees. No? Paritranaya sadhanam. He will help them. He will save them. Or he promises to protect them. For instance, he says, Ananya in the verse Ananda Chinto Chintayanto Mang, he says, for my devotees, I carry what they need and I maintain what they have. I am there for them, he says like this. Or he says another, in the verse 931, he gives another promise. He says, Kontiya pratijani hi nami bhakta pranashyati. O son of Kunti, declare boldly that my devotee never perishes. Now it is known that when Krishna gives a promise, these are not meaningless words, but he stands behind the promise. There is a beautiful passage in the Mahabharata. I think you remember when the Pandavas were in exile. I think it was the 13th year of their exile, which they had to spend absolutely incognito. Am I correct? Was it the 13th year?
Yes.
Yes. The agreement was, if Duryodhana or anyone would discover the Pandavas during this 13th year of their exile, the exile would be again prolonged, and the Pandavas would have to go for another 12 years into the forest, and then at the end of these 12 years, another test year, 13th year, would be there. So this was the situation of the sorry. Big problem or small problem? Small problem. So during this 13th year, Arjuna chose to spend with his brother this year incognito in the palace of Virata. Arjuna grew his hair. He looked like heavy metal, you know, but he braided it, and he became the dancing teacher of one of the princesses in the palace. Krishna wanted to check on the Pandavas and see them, and he came to the palace of Virata. And later Krishna remembered, when I arrived in the palace of Virata, just before the war, Arjuna was there and greeted me with the words which I can never forget. Arjuna said to me, "O Keshava, you are my brother and my best friend. Truly, you are dearer to me than anyone else in this world. I dedicate my life to you. No one else can protect me." When I heard that Arjuna welcomed me and called me his best friend and his brother, and that he dedicated my life to me, then I said to Arjuna in response, "I promise you, O Pata," Pata is one of the names of Arjuna, "not a single hair will fall from your head in the upcoming war, and I have kept my word." So this is how Krishna acts with his dear devotees. He promises to protect them, and he keeps his promise. You remember the war of Kurukshetra was brutal. It was a bloodbath. It was the most terrible war where righteous warriors forgot the rules of combat and broke all the rules to engage in mass slaughter. You know, it was really heavy, and Arjuna was in the midst of it. He was the warrior who got the most hits, you know, the most bombs, the most arrows, the most strokes, the most attempts for his life, but not a single hair on his head was burned or harmed, because Krishna had given protected him. Now, before this happens to a normal devotee, Krishna will test that devotee whether or not he is dedicated to him. If you want the protection of Krishna, Krishna will try to find out if you're really his devotee, and he will put you in the fire. There is a beautiful shloka in the 11th canto about a fire test which Krishna gives to his devotees. Does any one of you have a piece of gold with you here? No? I think, love, you are very rich, no? Maybe in the ear you have. What? You have a ring. Is it gold? Pure gold? I thank you. Wow. Look at this pure gold ring. You have to be very careful. It is worn by a lady with kshatriya abilities, so you can't steal it from her. There is a verse on how to get pure gold. Yathagni nahema malam jahati tamatam punasvam bhajate charupam atma chakamanushayam viduya mat bhakti yogena bhajatyatomam. Just as gold, when melted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure brilliant state. Similarly, the spirit soul absorbed in the fire of bhakti yoga is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruitive activities and returns to its original position of serving me in the spiritual world. Let's pause here for a moment. What does this word, verse says? Gold is usually not like this. This is pure gold. Yes, we can see it's very, very beautiful gold. Usually it is mixed with what is called alloys. When it is, however, put in the fire and heated there, these alloys or foreign particles, they leave the gold. They come out and you get this pure item, very beautiful item, soft gold. It glimmers, it is very pure, it gives health to the body and to the mind, no? And therefore it is worn directly by human beings, no? So the verse says, in the same way as gold, when it is put into fire, gives up its impurities, the spirit soul, when it is absorbing in the fire of bhakti yoga, is purified from all contamination, from all the previous karma, and returns to its original position. It means it becomes pure like gold, a pure servant of Krishna, and serves the Lord in the spiritual world. Thank you very much. Please take your ring back. Thank you. So this is an example. Bhakti can purify our inner heart. My dear devotees, gold does not become pure if you polish it or you can wash it with soap. It doesn't become pure. You have to bring it into the fire. Otherwise, it does not get rid of the impurities. In the same way, my dear devotees, yoga doesn't purify us. Karma, any activities, doesn't purify us as well as bhakti does. Because bhakti purifies your inner heart, which has turned away from Krishna and is now engaged in the material pursuit, in material sense gratification. So the fire of bhakti yoga is applied to all of us who are entering, who are in the material world. An easygoing life and purification of the heart and Krishna consciousness cannot go together. Every one of you is learning to become a selfless servant. Look at our grihasthas in Singhachalam. They are great, they are wonderful devotees, and they have children. And you can see, if you have a child, the child will somehow demand that you become a selfless servant. Isn't it, Advaita Singha? When the child has a need, has a demand, you have to jump. No? Gopi Gita, if Amurari is such a sweet boy, but if he wants something very badly, oh, we have to supply it, no? So all of us, and sannyasis, they have to always preach, they have to always travel, they have to give up, they have to give their life for the benefit of others. In Krishna consciousness, if you really want to take it serious, you have to undergo some voluntary troubles, or our love. Love comes from Vrindavan, and you know, to do the 24-hour kirtans, there is the night shift sometimes. Whoa, so difficult to stay awake, and you're hungry and thirsty, but no, the kirtan cannot be stopped, it has to go on. Or in Vrindavan, it can happen that it's very hot also, very hot. What?
Or very cold.
Or very cold. And there is no heating. You know, you have to, maybe the little electric heater, but that's almost a joke, you know. It can become so cold when the coldness from the Himalaya mountain comes down. Ooh, I know. I have sometimes two electric radiators in my room, and my room laughs at me. It says, I'm so cold. What can your ridiculous electric radiators do? So, and you know, this is typical. This is meant to purify us. There is a very interesting narration of fire tests in the Ramayana. You know, the war was over. Ram's arrow had struck down the demon Ravan on the battlefield. All the Rakshasas who had fought against Ram had found their end, and now Hanuman was sent to bring Sita to Ram. Where was Sita at that time? In one place in Sri Lanka. What? Ashokavan. Yeah, this forest is called Ashoka. There's no suffering, because Hanuman came to Sita and said, the war is over, Ashoka, all suffering was gone, with these words. So a palanquin was made ready. Sita went into the palanquin, and first they put the curtains around Sita, so no one could see her. But everyone demanded, you know, the Vanara army wanted to see their princess for whom they had risked their life. So Sita came before Ram, and she stepped out of the palanquin. My dear devotees, when the Vanaras saw the rays coming from the toenails of Mother Sita, their hearts melted in love for Sita. But Ram, what was with Ram? His face turned stoic, like a stone face. Sita came before Ram, paid his obeisances, and got up and looked into a face of granite. And Ram said, "So, Sita, the war is over now. You are delivered. You may go now wherever you please." "What?" said Sita. "You are sending me away?" And she understood. Ram was not accepting her because she had spent time in the house of another man. Overnight, many nights. So Sita said, "You are talking like a common man who deals with a village woman. Don't you know how much I love you and that my mind was never set on anyone else than you alone? Don't you know this? You're treating me like a girl from the streets. This is too much. I wish to enter the fire now." All the Vanaras cried helplessly. "What? We fought this war, and now this Sita is rejected. What goes on in Ram's mind? What goes on in Sita?" Ram said, "Very good idea. Go, Ram, get the wood." Everyone was just, "What?" Then Ram turned away, and those who looked closely could see he was crying in pain. "What was going on? He says one thing and he feels another thing." Sita went into the fire. It was a huge fire. Whoa, huge, my dear devotees. And Ram was crying in greater pain. His body was shaking. And then Sita came out. And Ram immediately greeted Sita with the greatest appreciation, the greatest love, the greatest so on. "Does any one of you understood what was going on?"
Purification test.
It was a fire test. In this case, it was like this. When Ravan had kidnapped Mother Sita in what forest? Dandakaranya forest, yes. At that time, Sita passed the ring of fire, the Lakshman Rekha, which was drawn by whom? By Lakshman, yes. And as she went through this mystical ring, the fire sprung up, and in the fire was Agni, the lord of the fire. He took Sita into his kingdom, said, "You stay here," and he supplied Ravan with another Sita. What Sita was that? Chaya means shadow. Sometimes it's also said a Maya Siddha, no, an illusory Siddha, not the real Siddha. Because no Asura can ever touch with his hand the supremely auspicious goddess Sita. Not possible, not possible. What Ravan had was not really Sita. It was like, nowadays we would say an AI program, you know. It was not the real thing. But outwardly what happened is a fire test. The same happened to the gopis when Krishna called them by the flute. When they arrived, Krishna said, you are very wonderful, pious girls. You have come here to look at the beauty of Vrindavan in the nighttime. But now it's better you go home, because how can good girls stay in the midst of the night with a man? That's not possible. So you see, the gopis also were tested, you know. Yeah, my dear devotees, when we hear about these tests, we may have a doubt. Will Krishna also abandon us? Will he send us through a test when love goes to Linz in the university? Will he become a servant of artificial intelligence? Will he lose his Krishna consciousness? Will he lose Krishna? You know, this is a fear which we might have. I once asked Jayapataka Swami this question. I had waited for 2 years to ask the question. This question. And then I said, Maharaj, I have a question, but it is a difficult question. May I ask it to you? Speak freely, he said. And I said, Maharaj, Krishna says he protects his devotees, but I think he sends them such heavy tests, and then he abandons them. He gives them up. For instance, in your case, you're a devotee, but you were attacked in the airport of Barcelona, and you were almost, your throat was cut through. Then now you had a stroke. Then after this, your liver needed to be transplanted, and also the lungs, I believe, no? Two lungs? One for sure. So, Jayapataka Maharaj answered me, listen, O Sachinanda Swami, he had to speak through a translator because he could not speak very easily audible due to the stroke. He said, listen carefully, Krishna does not always protect the body of the devotee, because the body really cannot be protected. It is born, it becomes older, there will be disease and old age, and then it will die. But Krishna protects the consciousness of the devotee, so that the devotee remains truthful, faithful, and convinced of Krishna. My dear devotees, I believe that we will be purified like the gold which we saw in a little while ago through the fire of Krishna's tests, so that we leave the external aspects of Krishna consciousness, which are ritual, and that we come to the inner aspects of Krishna, which have to do with our very existence as soul. So, I think at the end of the test, there will be less show, but more soul that we have, you know, more the soul of Krishna consciousness, not the show of Krishna consciousness. We will be saved from being just fireworks or Sunday devotees, but we become steady burning flames or devotees who are always persistent in following their Krishna consciousness. So less show, more soul. How do you like this, love? It's interesting, no? Because the show can't save you, but the soul can save you. There is a song. Yesterday, our Munindra Gana had asked for good prayers. Here is a very good prayer, Munindra Gana. We can sing it for you. Atmani Vedana Tuapade Kori. Sing. Atmani Vedana Tuapade Kori Hoinu Parama Narahilo Dukha Dure Gelo Chinta Narahilo Chori Ke Ananda Dekhi Chori Ke Anandadeki. I admit it's a little difficult when we don't have the words before us. It's a matter. I have submitted my soul at your feet, and now I'm supremely joyful. Sorrow has gone from my life, and no anxieties remain. When I look in the four directions, I see only bliss coming from east, west, south, north. My Lord, there's one thing I want you to know. Your two lotus feet are reservoirs of nectar that bestow freedom from lamentation and fear. Now, by taking refuge of them, I have given up the fear of worldly existence. In the course of serving you, while I serve you, difficulties may come my way, but for me they are the topmost joy. The pains and the pleasures of service to you are my greatest assets, for they destroy the misery of nations. I have completely forgotten my past history. What happened to me in the past, I don't know any longer, because there's so much joy in my life due to the service to you. All I know are two things. I am yours and you are mine. What need is there of any other treasure? A beautiful song. Muninda, please note down. Atma Nivedana. That's how the song is called. You know? It's the song of the surrendered soul who has finally understood. My dear Lord, I am actually not a person of this world. I'm not a body and a mind. I am actually your eternal part. I belong to you. And this I have learned in the course of going through the fire tests of Bhakti Yoga. Advaita Singha, he said something which I want to end with. When I asked you in the beginning, what do you associate with the word test? Advaita Singha said something like this. I hope I quote you correctly. It has to do with preparation. When you are well prepared, the test is not difficult. Let us say someone has to pass a dancing test, and they have done their exercises that the body is nice and strong and the movements. He will pass the test, or let us say driving a car. If we have learned nicely, then we can drive a car as swiftly and safely as Govinda drove the car yesterday. It was highly impressive, his driving style. There was no difficulty. He was prepared. He was not nervous. He could speak, he could sing, he could think, everything. No problem, because of being prepared. So, my dear devotees, I would love you to think of four areas in which you can prepare yourself. These four areas have to do with the tree of life. The tree of life is an analogy of our existence in the world. Just like a tree has roots and a crown of the tree and a trunk of the tree, so we have our roots, that is our spiritual life that nourishes us. So to be prepared in Krishna consciousness, you need to have spiritual inspiration. And spiritual inspiration comes quickest when you learn a simple thing: to spend time alone with Krishna. When, like yesterday, before I went to bed, it was not so late because we had done the lecture earlier. So I decided, let me sing a few prayers to the Lord, and let me read a little bit of spiritual test. And I spent this time alone with Krishna, and felt very Krishna conscious and very inspired. This, my dear devotee, is very important for all of us. There should be time when you are chanting, and it's only chanting. Not even your sweet little children. It's best when you do this when they are asleep, because when they are up, they are demanding your time, and it's good if you give them the attention they need. But you must take care that you have this time alone with Krishna, where you can focus on Krishna and Krishna only. Then, like a tree who has a crown, you also have something like an aspect in you where you are for others. No? We live next to our neighbor, and our neighbor always gives us masses of apples which come from the crown of the tree. So we also, as human beings, need to contribute and do something for the welfare of our neighbors, of other fellow living entities. And therefore, I want to request you, find your own mission within the mission of Srila Prabhupada. I would like to give an example. I grew up, so to say, in Krishna consciousness in temples. First in the Hamburg temple, and then I came into a central temple, central Germany, Schloss Rettershof. Prabhupada visited there. And I remember it was a big castle, really big, very beautiful. And there was we had a temple president, very nice temple president, who was presiding over everything, who did the official things representing it. And then we had another person, he was a gardener, he was only in the garden. And then we had a Sankirtan leader and Sankirtan devotees who were mostly out all week. They came back on Saturday, stayed Saturday and Sunday for the Sunday feast, and then they left on Monday again for another week of book distribution. Then we had a Bhakta leader, and there were also there was a place for Veda Vyas and myself. We were translating Srila Prabhupada's books from the sweet English. I mean, his English is very sweet. His English into the German language. So all these, my dear devotees, were in the same temple Rettershof, but according to the talents of each of the devotees. One was a translator, the other was a gardener, the other was a temple president, the other a Sankirtan devotee, Bhakta leader, and so on. So please find your particular role. There may be a simple role. You may be, I'm the Medanga man, or I am the cook, the assistant to Narahari. Is Narahari still cooking? Yes, I'm helping Narahari, you know. So whatever it is, have a mission within the mission where you can be inspired and where you can contribute to others. And for well-being, physical well-being, you have to be aware, move. You are a moving living being. You are not a stony. You know, stony means someone who does not move. I always believe in dancing. You know, I remember Advaita Singha, you were dancing, but since you have always a child on the, you cannot dance as freely, otherwise you lose the child, you know, and it falls down. Or
it will be an opportunity.
It will be an opportunity. No? Move. No, dance. Or make a walk, a japa walk, but make sure you do also japa. And so on. Something must be done for physical well-being. Something small. And mental well-being, situate yourself nicely and have a goal in your life which you aspire for. And stop this negative self-talk. No? Do you know this negative, this constant inner critic? Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I'm useless. And, you know, this la, 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 la goes on and on and on and on. Have a goal and have good association and talk, and don't allow your mind to slaughter you every minute of the day. Yes, these are the four areas. Roots, spiritual. Crown of the tree means your contribution to the world. Find your own mission. And physical well-being should be there. And emotional well-being. No? Have friends to talk with. No? Yeah. And it's very good for emotional well-being to have a culture where you encourage each other and not find fault with each other. This is what I like very much about Simhachalam. It's a very nice culture amongst devotees. They're young, they're inspired and inspiring, and they help each other. That's very, very, very important. Culture, you can have the best strategy to spread Krishna consciousness. If your culture is not encouraging devotees, then there's a saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast. When you have a bad culture, all your strategies to spread Krishna consciousness are devoured. You know, they become unactive. Good. This is what I wanted to say to you. I wanted to first of all make the point, don't be afraid of the tests. They will purify you, like the gold example. Remember this beautiful piece of gold which we all saw today? It is so the fire of Bhakti Yoga. Fire of Bhakti Yoga means intensely, live it intensely, your Bhakti Yoga. Don't be afraid to take some austerities in your service, no? That will purify you so that you will be able to be the friend of God. Hare Krishna. Fire is necessary to bring gold to its natural state. So the intense Bhakti Yoga, where there are also some tests, is necessary to purify the soul from its impurities. Yes, I'm finished, and I see if there are now some questions. I would love to answer the questions. I first saw Advaita Singha, said, all right, and then I saw Munindra, and then I saw Govinda. Let me look at the ladies also. I saw Nidhi, who is already formulating her question so that it's on the point. Mm-hmm. Yes, good. Yes, please.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
I wanted to ask you about the fire of intensity, and you mentioned intense bhakti. I think like sometimes we think, oh, we have to do something, we have to suffer, and but with intensity, the suffering is just in the mind, in the body, but when we practice intensely, when we chant and dance during the festival, then we overcome bodily pain or suffering in the mind, right?
Yes.
So that's the key to burn the fire that we practice intensity.
Yes, from the materialist who looks from outside sees intense bhakti as suffering, but it's not. When you are inside, you know, you understand, well, I feel so light. But you only sleep 7 hours. No, it's all right. I'm enthusiastic for my service. Yeah, but you go out for book distribution and you meet all these people who are telling you to go and work. It's all right, it's all right. They don't know better. We have to be a little compassionate to them. And no, but what is about your life? You live so simple. It's all right, it's all right. I mean, I'm happy. I don't have to spend so much. I don't have to earn so much money to spend it on things which don't satisfy me deeply. Like this. So intense bhakti yoga, tivrena bhakti yogana, is voluntarily accepting some tapasya, some inconvenience. In Krishna consciousness, we voluntarily accept this intensity. We don't run away from it. No? This is, and we don't wait until it comes, we are just voluntarily doing it because we understand the fire of so. And then there will be the fire tests. That's something else, you know. There is the intense bhakti yoga, but that prepares you for when there is a test to say, okay, I choose Krishna. I don't choose Maya now. It's two things, actually, two things. Thank you, Advaita Singha. Is it clear?
Yeah.
Good. Then Munindra Gana. Munindra Vindava.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful class. One question is, Maharaj, personally to you, you explained something from Jagata for Maharaj, some tests.
Yes.
With me, if you like, if you would share some personal tests, if you had.
Yeah, well, I was talking yesterday with a devotee about it. There comes a time for all of us where we have to really choose Krishna over anything else. For me to stay with many people is not easy. Yes, I can function, and then to stay sometimes it is very difficult. The movement sometimes goes through difficult phases, and then there are difficulties coming. Devotees may even disappoint us at times. It can happen. But then to stay on course and say, no, I'm serving Prabhupada, I'm doing this, and I'm not acting now out of my own feeling hurt or feeling so on. That is a test sometimes. We have to decide. Often we have to also take the humble role. No? That is, I remember when I went on Sankirtan and I met the people who told me to work, I said, I'm getting up earlier than you. You go one day on book distribution, then you know what work is. You know, your mouth is still full of the milk of your mother. You have no idea. You know, and still, yeah. You know, you're a book distributor. When you meet rejection, no, then you have to. Then it's a test to your will and determination. These are some of the tests which all of us know. I think the greatest test is in the face of disappointment and misunderstanding to just continue to serve. And you will see all the older devotees have their share of this. thank you. Or, you know, my body is not always so strong, and I remember I had a few health tests, you know, and then I thought, oh, should I continue traveling and doing the life which I do, the life of sacrifice at that time. Now I'm a little older, I don't, you know, old people are not like, I don't have the same strengths as when they were young. But yes, I decided to continue with my service even in the... And it's very purifying. Also, to forgive others and not be, wie sagt man, nachtragend. Nachtragend, wie sagt man, you know, keep it in my mind and be. So many tests, but very good, very good, very good. Otherwise, I would be very unhappy without having gone through this. Yes, Govinda Dev is your name, no? Govinda Dev, Babu. Govinda Dev drove us yesterday so elegantly and so swiftly. Ooh, We were absolutely in awe of your driving skills. Yes.
Thanks. It was a pleasure. Maharaj, you mentioned you were talking about Japataka Maharaj's answer, and he said that he is protecting, the Lord is not always protecting our bodies because anyway it will vanish or get deceased, but he's protecting our consciousness.
Yeah.
And I was wondering about the mental mental being, a mental state, because sometimes people might have a not only physical problem, but a faith crisis, or like you mentioned, disappointment, and it seems that sometimes devotees they're maybe physically okay, but they're mentally and emotionally not well.
Yes, yes, that's true. Yeah, then they did not pass the test at this time. No, I was thinking about this in the case of Kadamba Kanana Maharaj. You know, he once he said in a lecture, people come to me with a funeral face. Oh, you must die. Oh, you must die. But they are lamenting for something that was never alive. That is the body. The body was never alive. I was always alive, and I will stay alive. So when people come with a funeral face, I wonder who should lament for whom. You understand his logic, no? Yeah. So this is an example of a very strong devotee who passed many tests in his life and learned and stayed steadfast and became steadfast. And yeah, there may be some who are not that strong as of yet, and they may fail the test, and they become mentally and emotionally very affected and lament. No, this may be the case. It's not that everyone passes all the tests immediately. How many times did you need to pass the driver's test? Did you do it in the first run? Second run, yes. You also, Advaita? Yeah. First time, no fussing. So we are, some of us are like this also in life, you know, or outside the driver's test, you know. We don't pass it, but then we get another chance, and another chance, and another chance in bhakti. Yeah?
And what about the final test?
Yeah.
When you have to leave the body.
Oh, yeah.
How can you not be afraid of that?
This is a very good point. How can you not be afraid of the final test, the body change? We are almost finished, Mataji. You decide. That's so sweet, the children. Akila Prabhu, I once, I will give you a personal answer, which I think is a Shastric answer. Prabhupada once said, if we are afraid, we should read the second canto of the, no, not canto, second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which is describing that we are all eternal souls. And if you read this before you go, for instance, to the dentist or anything you are afraid of, it has amazing effects on the consciousness. So the fear of death can only be overcome if you understand, I do never die. I'm an eternal soul. And that understanding is coming through due to spiritual spiritual vibrations, really. This is why when a person gives up the body, he usually likes to invite devotees to do kirtan, because in that atmosphere there's a chance that he loses his misidentification with the physical body as a self, and that he rises beyond it and understands, I'm eternal. That is there, or he can hear some transcendental knowledge. I think we all need to prepare for that last moment, especially when we are elderly. We need to see now, okay, we are coming to the last phase of our life, and we need to now see to bring more Krishna consciousness in our life. Especially old people, they are standing before an interesting fork, because their physical and mental energy is not so strong as that of young people. Sometimes old habits, old attachments, and so on become more prominent. You know, there is not this force to just go over them and so on. And elderly people have to really see that they spend their time in a way that is best suited to help them become spiritually more stable, more rooted, more aware. Because you can only face that last moment when you have to give up the body and lose and leave everything behind, you know. You can face that only with peace in your heart when you do understand that you are not the body, that you are the soul. But at the same time, Akhila Prabhu, please feel encouraged. Krishna is there for devotees at the last moment. We often hear how Krishna has helped God brothers, God sisters, who at the time of death have had a tremendous strength which Krishna gave them. Krishna does not forget at the time of death what the devotee did for him. There is this prayer, it's in the Ishopanishad, O Lord, purifying as the fire, now please remember my services to you. No? And Krishna doesn't need a reminder, but it's just the sentiment or feeling of a devoted soul to say, my Lord. So I think when your time comes, Akhila, Krishna sees your years of wonderful service, how you always kept on your service, remained a kind and real devotee of the Lord, and so on. And he will not forget you. There is a very nice statement by this. There was an older devotee who was concerned how he will pass the last test. And he went to a great devotee who was known that it was known that he could speak to Krishna. The devotee's name started with K. Just now my mind is a little tired, so I cannot cannot remember. So this old man said, what will happen if I forget the Lord at the time of my death? And this devotee said, well, tomorrow I'm fanning the Lord, I will ask him. So the next morning came, and this devotee went to the altar in order to fan the Lord, and he said, my Lord, I have a question. Said the Lord, there was this old devotee who came yesterday, and he asked me, he now feels his time will soon come, and he's not sure that he will remember you. It could be that the time of death is little intense. What will happen to this devotee? He is asking. So the Lord, Varadaraj, the Lord of Blessings, he said, if the devotee can't remember me, I remember him, you know. And I really believe this to be true. How should Krishna forget all the sacrifices, all the efforts of his devotee who tried his best? Yes, he failed sometimes, but that's not the point for Krishna. That's normal for a human being to fail. Krishna will see what the devotee did and so on. So that's how I approached my own death. I think the Lord will be there. And I have been in very difficult situations in hospitals a few times, and I always had enough strength to go through everything. And it was not my strength, it was Krishna who had given me the strength. So this is my answer. On your side, try to do increase your Krishna consciousness, but don't be afraid, even if it's not possible, because you're a little older and you can do what you can do at the moment. And Krishna won't forget his devotee, 100%. Hare Krishna. There is Nidhi will be our last devotee. Then after this question, we will all have one question. When is breakfast? We will ask the question.
Thank you, Maharaj, for such a thought-provoking class. My question is, I feel the nature of tests is that it's not always possible to be prepared, or you're tested in areas where you have no idea that, you know, you can possibly prepare. And Krishna says, the one who's close to me, I take away everything. The reality of this is very daunting. And I find that in these struggles, you can think about the philosophy you've read, you can go to the books, but the struggle is so difficult that it's not always possible to digest. How do you really surrender in these moments?
Yeah. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful point. Sometimes you are tested in areas where you had no idea that you should prepare even, you know, and you are not prepared at that time. And it, Nidhi, if you are, the test will never be outside one question. The test will always be on one question or another. They may have different forms, the tests, but you will be only tested for one thing, and one thing alone, and nothing else than this one thing. It is how Krishna conscious are you? What do you do? Where do you turn for shelter? It's always the same. It could be in a relationship. It could be when you are in the kitchen and you are asked to cook and you have no idea, what? How do I cook this preparation? It could be, you know, traveling and meeting with people, difficult people or easy people. It could be when you are asked, Nidhi, this morning you will be giving the Bhagavatam class. What? Me? I am not prepared. But the thing always, what is desired is how Krishna conscious you are. And that is what you practice through your chanting. That is what you practice through your reading. That is what you practice. That's the whole point of spiritual practice, to bring you to the point where you can be Krishna conscious. And when you are Krishna conscious, you can answer every situation, any situation. Nothing will be out of style or out of order. Hare Krishna. I thank you very much. I will now, oh my God, we are a little over time. We will finish here. Govinda Dev, what is our next program here? Do you, can you please tell us?
Hare Krishna. Yes, because we have it's an arriving morning, and Madhava Prabhu also is cancelled last minute, and Hare Kirtan Prabhu is coming today afternoon. I decided today morning to announce that we will not have this 11 o'clock session.
Okay.
So we will continue at Raja Bogart at 1, then at 2 p.m. lunch prasadam, of course now breakfast first, and then the main part of the festival is starting at 4 p.m.
Good.
4 p.m. with Adivas ceremony and Vishvakshena Puja, Homa and Garuda, etc.
Wonderful. So, more or less normal programs, not normal life, and at 4 o'clock we are here.
Yes.
Good. Thank you very much. And I think, Gopi Gita, you want to give me a printout of the entire festival schedule? Good. Then, Hare Krishna, have a wonderful day. See you latest at 4 o'clock.
Chinnanand Maharaj ki jai.